everyone. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us again. In this episode, we discuss the Dead Files, A Widow's Revenge, chosen by the one and only AP.
Hey.
AP, do you want to shed some light and let us know why you chose this episode for us?
It was really scientific.
I love
this. Perfect.
It was, yeah. What are some episodes or seasons we have a lot of episodes left in?
Perfect.
And what's a name I like?
There you go.
Check.
And
I love it so much.
Since it was called A Widow's Revenge, I thought, well, that sounds great.
Yeah.
So that's why I chose it.
Good. I love it.
That's my scientific reasoning behind it.
I love
that's
it.
That's kind of like up there with me where I'm like, oh, this looks like a nice title. Or we haven't done one here for a while.
Uh-huh.
Let's do that.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of what I do too, is I look at ones that have, like, there are some episodes we've done almost every one.
Some seasons, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some seasons, yeah.
What did I say? Some episodes?
Episodes. Yep.
Seasons.
Usually the episode, we do the whole thing.
Yeah.
We try.
This week,
maybe
we're going to
do something new.
Just the first part of this episode.
Just the tip of each
episode. Actually, we're going to do...
Just the tip, did you say?
Just the tip of each episode.
God, AP. You really are a 12-year-old boy.
Oh, jeez.
We're actually going to do...
You haven't met 8th grade girls, have you? Because
no,
I taught them to.
I try not to. We're actually just going to do the middle part of an episode, and you're going to figure out which one it is.
We're not even going to tell you which one it is. We should do that.
You.
We should do that sometime.
Halloween.
Yeah.
Or April Fool's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suppose I could
content
tell people
warning.
What we talked about. Enslaved peoples.
Yeah.
There child was a, death.
Child death
lot of
in
child
history.
Death. Yeah. In history, yeah.
Yeah. Other rest is just about wars.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Civil War.
A lot of the cream of the crop of U.S. history.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, because this is in the South.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In Virginia, not far from D.C. So mm-hmm.
It's good, 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 good.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we hope you enjoy.
Oh, it was so good.
All right. Well,
on that note.
Thanks for joining us, you guys.
Yeah.
Welcome back. As we mentioned, we are discussing Widow's Revenge, and AP is here with your overview. Take it away.
Hello. Today, we travel to Dumfries, Virginia, to the Williams Botts Museum, where we meet an employee of the museum, Erica, who is very worried that activity at the facility will result in someone getting seriously hurt or worse. She loves this place and calls it her dream job. Erica tells Steve about what's going on here. Dark shadows, doors opening and closing, physical attacks with hair and clothing being pulled. And it's not just the employees and volunteers. It's also guests on the tours. We also learn they host ghost tours. More on that later. Next, we meet Joanne, the museum director, and Natalie, a volunteer who is pregnant. This is important. Joanne has a life-threatening experience, but we don't learn any details as to what happened. Natalie shares she is very uncomfortable with her experiences, like feeling there's pressure on her chest and shoulders, and is worried for her baby. Steve's research brings us a few interesting stories, and I'm guessing there's a lot more because of the nature of this area. We first meet Don Wilson, a genealogist who tells us about a wealthy family called the Merchants. Richard and Annie have 4 children, 2 survive to adulthood, and only 1 outlives her parents. Next, we meet David Bourne, a historian who tells us about the awful conditions during the Civil War that led to the death of hundreds of soldiers, mostly Confederates. Sickness, weather conditions, poor hygiene, and limited food makes for a bad recipe. Lastly, we hear about a horrific beating death of an enslaved child from a local professor, Kelly Dietz. We do learn about a white man who was so upset about this, he harassed the family until a duel was called where he ultimately lost his life. Colonel John Bayless was ahead of his time. Now, throughout this episode, we see Amy converse with a spirit calling himself Uncle Bob and dealing with a spoiled woman who has lost a lot in life. She sees a few scenes that are disturbing, like teenagers in gray uniforms suffering, freezing, and starving, and a scene of black men and women being murdered, where some claim the deaths were just and legal. Amy is most concerned with the woman who she believes can evolve to murder, but she's also wondering what Bob's intentions are. At the reveal, we have Erica and Natalie. Amy shares her walk, which started with seeing the main building in a graveyard. Steve tells her it's likely that there are hundreds of Confederate soldiers buried on this property. Amy shares that Uncle Bob likes to be the center of attention and hears about the ghost tours. Ultimately, she's okay with them because they're respectful and have a code of conduct. Amy recommends that in order to ensure everyone's safety, that they need to cleanse the area with old rags and salt water, literally wiping it down, and have a minister do a blessing and a direct statement to get the two main spirits to leave. If all else fails, exorcism. Will they or won't they? Stay tuned to see if the activity continues. I'm so proud of you two.
Oh, I muted myself because I had to chew on a M&M. Yeah, you know, I turned my computer on dark mode so that it wouldn't be bright white shining in my face.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
And now all the colors are goofed up. I can't see. I don't know who's who. Oh. And the pictures are in X-ray mode.
Ooh.
Weird.
I don't like that. That's creepy.
It's weird.
Not a fan.
I don't have that problem. Great.
Here we go.
How exciting.
All right. Here we go.
Yeah. This was a really interesting episode.
Yeah.
We start off with Steve. Like, you know, he usually gives us a little bit of background or gets to the point of a background of this place. All we know is it's a house that's built in the 1700s.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. They don't tell us why it's called Weems Botts, mm-hmm. which one was the Weems, I believe, was the storyteller or the journalist who wrote the story of George Washington cutting down the cherry tree and coming up with that I cannot tell a lie story. Mm-hmm. And the other Botts was somebody who, I think he defended Aaron Burr. So very early on. But, you know, like we hear the stories later on. It's like, why isn't this called the Merchant House?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there was a lot more to this area than we get. And I think that we also notice that with one of the spirits does not seem to connect to anybody that came up in the research.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he invites Amy in right off the bat.
Yeah. Welcome. I'm Uncle Bob.
This wasn't my favorite episode. And it wasn't anything that they did. I thought the clients were wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like it was Steve just really over-dramatized everything to the point of like, Steve, come on. Like, this is not the worst we've seen by far.
Right.
No,
and he asked a lot of really dumb questions. And I kept going, why? I mean, we always make fun of him for asking dumb questions, but I always assume it's the production company that's going, Steve, ask her about the blah, blah, blah. And if that's true, then the production company needs to take the hit for this because it was ridiculous.
It's so stupid.
Number of times,
blatantly obvious questions.
If you were to take a drink every time or a shot every time he said okay in this episode, you'd be hammered halfway through.
It's like last week with the wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, if you find that on your bingo card, maybe bingo is better than a drink.
Okay, anything else? Okay, anything else?
Okay,
anything else? And it was to everybody. It wasn't just in like one section.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, he had other ways that, and it just didn't work in the way that they cut. But it's like someone needs to help this group out and say, tell me more.
Yeah, someone get Steve a thesaurus because he needs it.
A thesaurus?
A thesaurus.
Oh, yep. Man.
All right.
I will say Amy's hair in this episode is one of like my favorite kind of.
Super cute.
She's got that sweet side braid, but with the lighter color hair, I know the very early episode, she's got the really dark, you know, throwback to 90s almost.
And it was goth because she had like the straight bangs and very like the dark bob, which was still cute.
Very cute.
But I like her with longer hair too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I just said that.
Not that my opinion matters.
No, right? None of ours.
You know that she listens to see what we're going to say about her hair.
Yes. And she, if we don't like it, she goes back to the producers and she's like, we need to reshoot this entire episode.
Yeah, I bet that'll happen.
There is no way in hell Amy Allen would do that.
I know. And she shouldn't.
No, she shouldn't.
Free and happy. So.
Yes.
Live your life, girlfriend. Live it.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, going off on weird things that of how this episode was too, we don't even find out the client's name until after. So we
like
get
the third scene with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And because Amy, I know you're like, God, she has a name. And
yeah.
It's like,
She's a woman, though. So, like, do we really need
so her? And she's not well, white.
We do see that later on. I did say she seems really sweet, and I hope I'm not eating my words at the end. Last time I
No,
was.
She you was
did
delightful.
Last time.
Sure did. That girl was tasty.
You picked the wrong episode to give people a chance.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I'd try something outside my comfort zone.
Right. I'd say you were rewarded in this case. She seemed like a very nice lady. They both did, both the ladies.
I love
all three. Everybody. There was three ladies, but the main two that were the clients. Yeah. They both seemed very sweet.
Overall, like the whole thing just seemed really, so the annex of the house, that's just, I don't think that house is as old as the Weems Botts Museum house is.
Probably not.
But I get the feeling that has, you know, more of the things that they can't store in that house and that sort of stuff. Or maybe it's, you know, a little bit more of where they might have lunch in the offices a little bit. Because they were in, at one point, they were in the kitchen. And, Amy, I think you made a comment about the curtains, that they were atrocious.
Oh, because that's when Amy and Matt are standing together talking, and she says, talking about Bob, the ghost that says, hey, welcome, that he does not like the decor.
No.
And that's why I said those curtains are a crime, because they are disgusting.
They are. And I was thinking, I was like, well, maybe they were, you know, trying to make it of the time, but then you see the Dawn dish soap and the liquid hand soap and the other things on the counter, which didn't really. So that's where I was like, well, maybe this is the area.
That's
where
staff it's area. Like
their staff area.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not part of the museum, I'm sure.
So, you know, overall, we have the classic signs of a haunting that we've come to know and love. Shadow people, things moving. Amy and I have done, I know, a little bit more research to this. There's apparently a doll that moves around, windows that open and close on
their
AP,
own. We know how much you love dolls.
Yeah,
so
and there's fucking
really
pictures of her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Her name's Ethel.
Well, is that the, is there's she the picture one that was on the couch?
No, that's a different doll, I think. I thought it was the same doll, but AP, when you sent me the link to the doll, the Instagram story that had the doll, I think it was a different doll.
Okay. I didn't pay attention to dolls in the show.
Well, there is a doll in the picture that I did a screenshot of, and I'll put it in the socials and stuff, but and the blog. But it's a picture of the living room, and it's got a couch and a chair and a table and a couch in the front, and then this little doll sitting on there. And the reason I screenshot it at first was because it looked just like my old house. I had all that same furniture in my old house.
Oh, yeah.
That came with the house when we bought it. And it wasn't all old.
Now I see what you're talking about. Got it.
Yeah. There's a little doll in like a velvet dress, it looks like. I don't know.
Some things I noted, you know, as she talks about the things that are happening, you know, she's had her hair pulled, you know, like full on hair being yanked backwards.
That's not how she described it.
Yes, I know. I'm avoiding saying what she said.
She described fingers running up through her hair.
Through her hair.
And then pulling it.
Yeah, and
she, I'm like, that's gross.
She used an unfortunate term too later on. That's what I was avoiding.
What term did she use?
Fisting.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
I did not catch that.
And that's in the reveal. Yeah,
I don't think that's what she meant.
No, it's definitely not. But I just sat there and started giggling because I'm 12. But yes, she meant that somebody was like wrapping their hands and she making a fist and pulling her hair backwards.
Yeah. Okay.
But
I also like how Steve's like, anything else? And I've noticed this throughout the episode. It's like, oh, by the way, this happened. And it's like this horrific thing. Like, oh, I have my hair pulled.
Someone got thrown down the stairs.
Yeah, my son was thrown down the stairs. I mean, is that important? Should I bring that up?
Should I have brought that up? Should I have led with that?
Anything else? Oh, yeah. Someone grabbed my hair and yanked it. Like, maybe lead with that.
Yeah.
I just thought it was funny. I noticed that, like, throughout, that they're like, oh, this horrific thing is a by the way.
It could be because they're so used to it or they're used to people not believing them when they talk about it.
Or they were told by the producers to leave that.
Like, yeah.
The shock factor.
Yes. Don't say that right away. Probably.
I just thought it was funny. Oh, and by the way, this horrific thing happened.
Yeah.
We don't know how long the spirit interactions and things have been going on at this facility, but we do know that they're constantly in restoration. Mm-hmm. Yes. Restoration and renovations does often mean more. But you're also in Virginia, which not only do we hear about Civil War at one point, but the Revolution happened. Dumfries was a POW, prisoners of war camp for the Hessian soldiers that fought with the English in the Revolution. And so there's probably history with that. Then you also have enslaved peoples. And there is a lot of stuff, in especially in Virginia area there. So it doesn't surprise me that there's anything, all the stuff going on here. And
not to mention, there's a lot of paranormal stuff in the South. I mean, you have Mothman, you know, in West Virginia, hop, skip, and a jump away. Some of the most haunted places are in the South, in Georgia and Virginia.
Well, they are some of the oldest.
Oldest, yeah.
They're
the
old, yes.
Colonialization coming across with a mixing of all sorts of different energies and spirits and whatnot. Which,
not to mention, like AP said, the trauma. I mean, you have enslaved people, you have civil war. A lot of battles were fought in the South, like major battles. So, yeah, there's been that. Talk about residual energy. I mean, huge residual energy down there, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Which it feels like Amy mentions a couple of those scenes are likely residual, and but because she doesn't really seem like she's communicating with anybody in particular. She's just seeing this and sensing this. And, you know, with all of that, we also know that they do historic tours and ghost tours. Mm-hmm. Now, I did do a little research on stuff, and some of their old stuff does look like they used to do like lockdowns overnight, like 9 hour, you know, do stuff for a while, take a break, then do more stuff. I think their tours now are more like, you know, that late night. Here's the historical aspect. You may hear this, you may see this, or maybe they bring out a few things, but they're not doing, we hear later in the reveal, like, we have a code of conduct. We don't allow, you know, like people have to sign waivers for certain things and how they're going to act and be respectful. So we don't even hear anything else about that in the reveal from Amy. I'm sure there was more, but we don't hear anything
more. Yeah, she asked about it. And then when they said, no, we have this code of conduct and everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing and all that. And she was like, okay, good. And then moved right along.
Yep.
So if Amy's worried about it, I'm not worried about it.
Yep.
I feel like that's the only one that we're one of the few where they're actually respectful.
Yeah. She's had a few of those before, too, where it's just like, hey, as you know, we've had ones where it's like, yeah, they enjoy the stories, but make sure you get the story right. If you guys remember the last episode, it was with Cindy, though. It was like that Octagon Museum in Kentucky, where the woman was telling the gossipy story of one of the spirits, and the spirit was very unhappy, and she was getting like slapped or scratched or something, and Cindy was like, yeah, stop spreading rumors.
Yeah.
You're pissing her off.
Be respectful. Yeah. Like, come on.
And you know, but on some of that too is that there's that history of that we're all told. I mean, Amy, you've looked up stuff and it's like, well, this gives one very interesting perspective here, and then you find something else that tells you a little bit more into that story, or but it was never publicized.
I feel like the Octagon overall was a very disrespectful place, so
there was a lot about that episode that gave us all pause. I remember we were all like, we didn't really care for the client. We had like ick about him, and there it was just like,
you mean like the wannabe Crocodile Dundee meets Indiana Jones?
I just, there was a lot of stuff that was questionable about that place.
Yep. And throughout this too, I mean, Amy talks to Bob a lot in this first section, which he seems like a great guy off the bat, right? Like, it's like, oh, he seems fun. He's Uncle engaging.
Bob.
He wants
Uncle Bob. He said welcome and everything.
It reminds me of the movie What About Bob?
Yeah. I was thinking that the whole time I was watching. Mm-hmm. And this is where I went, oh, Bob seems so cool. I love Bob. Yeah. I hope I'm not wrong.
You were. We all were.
Yeah. He duped us all.
Well, because he's it's damn almost it, like he's got like two personalities going on here.
Yeah.
Where he's the super friendly, but then it's like he pulls them in so that he can get what he wants.
Yeah. Narcissist. Can ghosts be narcissistic?
I mean,
I would assume
probably.
So.
Why not? They're just people. Life.
Right.
Yeah. Anything in particular from Erica in that first section? And I know we've got Joanne and Natalie a little bit too before we start into the second grouping.
For a ghost, would you change your personality?
I don't see any reason to.
I mean, I'm super awesome as is.
I don't know. I might be kind of mean.
Really?
I already am. Yeah. So.
See, I'm not. I might be kind of mean.
Just do it in real life. Then you don't have to do it when you're dead.
I can't. I can't. But I feel bad.
That's sure also can. Called. That's also called setting a boundary.
I know. I don't. I'm really bad at that.
You'll learn.
Once you set that boundary, man, it feels good. Then we had Joanne and Natalie who come in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Joanne was so quiet and soft and
I had a feeling there was something wrong with her voice because she was talking about how she almost died.
Yeah.
But she never did say how or why.
She probably did. They probably just cut it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't need to know that.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a podcast in 10 years where people are going to rake us over the coals.
Nobody cares.
She said, I ended up in the hospital. I was basically told I was on the verge of dying.
Yeah. Jeez.
And then
maybe something respiratory given her voice.
That's what I was thinking. Something with maybe she
When did this air? Could it be
in
COVID?
In 2017.
Oh, yeah. It's not COVID.
No, then like I wrote in here too. It was like, well, you know. Could it be something that was just unexplained and in those quotes of, I mean, I've known a few people who've passed and they've had autopsies done and they can't find anything. Yeah. So there's something. But is it also, I mean, women aren't always believed as much.
Right.
No. They haven't been studied as well. Mm-hmm. Is it something that was there and they just couldn't rule out because they were looking in the wrong spot because she's
a woman.
A woman of a certain age.
Are you on your period?
Well, was it menopause related aspect? Yeah. So that just went into my mind.
Things to wonder.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's 2025 and women still aren't believed in.
Right.
Now our rights
and just now people are the doctors are starting to really try and understand women's health issues more than they did before. Yeah. Do we want to get into the fact that she's no longer with us?
Passed away.
Yeah, she passed away. I found an article about her and it did not say though how she passed. It just said that she was a director between whenever she started, I can't remember when, and 2017, which is when this came out, which tells me that she was the director until she went into the hospital. And then Erica took over is what I think happened. And it just said that she passed away. And I don't remember exactly when.
Mm. I think you said 2023.
Okay.
Or the article was from 2023, somewhere there.
Okay. Okay. That sounds right.
Yep.
And so we don't know how or why.
Yeah. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
And right after this, I do want to include this section because we have a nice little talk about things you can get potassium from because Amy. So we hear about the energy being drained and all the stuff from Joanne. Mm-hmm. But then Amy's like, yeah, there's just men sitting here, woman bringing drinks. So then it's like, okay, was this a saloon, a bar? But she said there's a lot of arguing and chaos and it can be draining. Like it can just zap you. It'd affect your potassium levels, which could cause heart issues, which maybe they're trying to say that that's connected to Joanne. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the fun fact is that bananas, though well known for potassium, are not the highest amount of potassium that you can get from a single vegetable.
That's good to know because that's the only reason I eat them. Because I hate bananas.
I don't like bananas either. And I eat them too because I know I'm supposed to.
But AP said baked potato with skin on has more. So now I'm going to be eating 50 potatoes.
Yeah. Like a medium
baked potato.
If you look it up, it says like a medium sized baked potato with the skin on. So russet, Yukon, those kinds of things. Just don't put all the junk stuff on. That's
okay.
I mean, you're still eating the potassium.
Yeah.
So why not?
Yeah. Because it may counteract some of the stuff that you're doing.
You shut up.
I mean, if you
are
you telling me that if I slab a whole bunch of butter and sour cream and bacon and cheese on my potato that it's going to be bad for my heart? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
I don't believe it.
But I still love a baked potato. I will have a baked potato with anything. Great things you can do is just throw some chicken in the slow cooker with just like basic seasonings.
Yeah.
And then you can take some of that and make like buffalo chicken and throw that over.
That's what we do.
Your baked potato or sweet potato.
Because my husband likes to make 17 pounds of food at once. So we cook, like, not the other night, he made 6 pounds of ground turkey. And I'm like,
holy shit, that's expensive.
It's a lot of fucking turkey.
How long does it take him to eat that?
Well, he eats it every single day. Like, he'll come home and eat the same thing every single day for however long it takes to eat it.
That's okay, a lot.
But you can only keep it for like 4 days before you're making.
Well, he freezes a lot of it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So he'll freeze it and then take it out. But so we make like 2 pounds of chicken in the crock pot. And we'll just season it with seasoned salt, pepper, and then like a mixture of water and chicken broth. And then we just eat it. It's so good.
That's why I always keep my cooking beer, my like McGolden. I didn't throw in that with the better than bouillon chicken stock or whatever if you don't have chicken broth.
I love better bouillon.
Yeah. Eat 900 potatoes slathered in butter and sour cream.
I love potatoes.
Don't take it from me.
Yep. Okay, so we talked about Joanne and potassium. Yep. And our last person that we meet is Natalie. Steve's like, how long have you worked here? And she's like, well, I volunteer. So then he keeps asking her like what she does for work. And I'm like, but she's a volunteer. Work implies that she's paid.
And like she specified it too. Like she corrected
him. She said, I'm a volunteer.
Yes.
Yeah. She probably has another job. She just does this on the weekends or something like that.
She donates her time kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because even when you look on their page now, they have a director and they have one employee. The rest are volunteers. And that's
Is Erica still the director?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nope. That's how a lot of places kind of work like this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I just, you know, she's very upfront that she's pregnant and she's protective of her child, that she has, you know, seen some things, has felt some things. I just thought some of her experiences were really interesting. Like she saw a floating face. So, of course, Steve restrains himself from asking if she's been boozing or taking anything. But he's like, are you hallucinating? Did you do anything to hallucinate?
She's like, I actually did a bunch of LSD.
Yeah, it's real good for the baby.
I did the ayahuasca and just like, good Lord. And then
I did some peyote.
Yep. Yep.
That's fine.
But then we get to, we haven't seen, at least I haven't seen one of these in a while, where Steve's like, demonstrate on me what it felt like.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And if you watch, she puts her hands so that her hands are over his shoulders and then presses down with her wrists.
Yeah.
Or her forearms. And she looked really uncomfortable.
She did. I would be really uncomfortable doing that. I hope that if I ever meet Steve, he doesn't ask me to demonstrate anything on him, because that,
and not only that, but like we don't know her background, we don't
exactly
know. Like she could come from an area or a belief or a religion or whatever, a culture where women aren't supposed to touch men, or you know, so maybe, I mean, we don't know, that could be a big thing. And like he's not,
it was just a weird interaction.
It's just awkward. It seems like it's always awkward when he does that.
It was unnecessary.
And it's like, do you think he warns them about it? Because it didn't seem like he warned her.
The producers might say, Steve might ask you to demonstrate whatever you saw or whatever you felt on him. Are you okay with that? They should do that. I don't know if they do.
Yeah.
I hope they do.
Should ask, are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Because she was very clearly not.
Yeah.
Because didn't we hear from somebody that the producers were telling Steve to quit hugging the clients because it was making them uncomfortable or something like that? Like, probably. Not like in a bad way, but just like, maybe it's best if you don't, like, the first thing you do, go hug somebody, because that people might be weirded out.
I have to tell Jordan that. I'm telling him we need to ask people first before we hug them, because some people don't want to be hugged.
Yeah.
Those were just the few things that I was like, I feel like these should be called out, because they're, we haven't seen the demonstrate on me in a while, which
we really haven't.
I feel like
that should be on the bingo card for this one. Yeah.
So now we can jump into Steve's discoveries in our segment two.
Digging through the archives.
Yes. Because I mean, really, most of the stuff that Amy found was kind of just they jumped it back and forth where it felt like a lot tied in. Yeah. We're like, okay, we're going to find out who Bob is.
Yeah.
Spoiler. We don't find out who Bob is.
We don't.
But we do start off with the first one, which is Dawn Wilson, who is a genealogist.
Not a gynecologist.
And he tells us the story of the Merchant family, which, again, I was like, okay. He starts talking about how this family's been prominent in Dumfries for 200 years. And immediately, Steve goes, this Richard sounds like a rich kid.
Probably is. What's your point?
But
you know, like, to me, that scene, it was just so, like, cringy. Because, yes, if you say prominent family, they're most likely very well off or have been for a long time. Mm-hmm. But then when someone says rich kid, all three of us have that person in mind who we think of who is the biggest dick.
Yeah.
Steph from Pretty in Pink. Sorry, Amy. I know you love him.
I love Steph.
He's such a dick.
I love James Spader.
Yes, but he plays a very good dick.
He does.
He really does.
You're such a bitch.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we all come up with that. And so I'm like, okay, so are we supposed to hate this guy right off the bat? Because that feels like you're telling me I should. Mm-hmm. And, you know, basically we get the family that has the story of the loss, right? We always have at least something that's going, most of the time, I should say. We find out he gets married in 1877 and has a wife named Annie, who later on just becomes known as the wife. Not his wife. Well. The wife.
I mean, again,
she doesn't need
she's a
name.
Woman.
Yeah. She
what
also,
does she matter?
She also came from a prominent family. And
was she a rich kid too?
He didn't say that, but he did say that she was about the same social level as he was.
Okay. Which makes sense because typically that's how marriages went.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
They had four children and unfortunately only one survives to outlive her parents. So they had one who died at 6 months. Likely SIDS is a potential here. No official death record. The other dies at 4 from meningitis.
Which I think it's so interesting that it's 2025 and we still don't really know much about SIDS. Like, we don't know what causes it. We kind of know how to prevent it, but not really, because you could still do everything to prevent it and they could still die from SIDS. The first 6 months of Jordan's life were terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would, I hardly slept. I would wake up and, like, literally I'd have to touch him to make sure he's breathing. I would have to move him to wake him up because I'd be so scared that he would die. It's horrendous. I still, every night, he's 4 and a half. I still, before I go to bed, I will open his door and wait to see his chest moving.
We have another classic statement, because we learned that the little boy died of meningitis, and Steve.
Oh, Steve.
Bless you. But so this kid suffered before he died.
Was that necessary? Was that necessary, Steven?
So.
No.
So, meningitis in the 1800s, I'm sure it was an easy passing.
Do you think that, and I'm not trying to defend Steve or stick up for him or anything.
Okay, well,
but
that's what it sounds like.
Do you think that maybe he's asks that when he does, because he does it repeatedly.
For an explanation?
Do you think it's so that he's thinking, what if Amy saw a ghost of a little kid who's running around and he's mad? Then I can bring this up in the reveal and say, well, he died of a horrible thing. You know, like, I wonder if he's trying to, like, jump to a conclusion,
a
I guess, but a connection, maybe thinking about what Amy might have seen. I don't know.
Maybe
it just, or maybe just to say, like, see if they're going to give a little bit more of an explanation to the general public. So who knows? It was just one of those things, like, okay.
I'm sure it does serve a purpose. I mean, Steve was a homicide detective for how many years? You know, he's not going to ask questions that are pointless, you know.
Unless
it just.
Have you heard of the question that was asked if anyone else had died in this town?
Fair.
That's, Do you know if anyone else died here?
No. They're all alive.
Yep. Anyway, so it was just one of those. It's in hindsight also, too, of probably could have been asked better or stated a little bit
better.
Well,
that happens every single time.
Well, you think about where he is. Like, he's a white man, you know, who never really has to answer to anybody. So he can kind of ask whatever questions he wants. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's it goes more towards it's off the cuff, that it's not, you know, where some people may say, oh, these things are scripted. I don't think that.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think it's scripted.
I think if they were going to go back and script it, they would have provided and been like, maybe instead of saying so he suffered before he died, is meningitis something that is a traumatic?
Yeah.
Whatever. So,
yeah. He does ask those questions a lot. He asks like that, you know, he knows the answer, but he asks it for us.
Yep.
So the person will answer it for those of us watching at home who might not know. Yep. He does do that a lot.
And then they try to show the death certificate, but it is definitely not the death certificate.
It's a census.
No, it's that's a census. So it was definitely cut poorly.
Either there was a weird cut or they don't know the difference between a census and a death certificate. I'm pretty sure they do know the difference. But I'm sure the census, I didn't you know, zoom in on it or anything, but sometimes census will say, like, if somebody passes away during that year of the census, they will put in what they died from. So it's possible, but that's not a death certificate.
Yeah.
No.
Yep. So anyways, the last child, the last we know about is Mary Frances, which I found an article that also called her Mamie. And so she was 23 when she passed. Now, in the episode, they say she passed of an epileptic seizure. She did have epilepsy. However, articles that I found stated that she died from a fall down the stairs.
Maybe as a result
of like, she was having a seizure.
Potentially, she may have been at the top of the stairs and had the seizure. Or they stated that it was a seizure because it was just easier than explaining how a fairly able-bodied 23-year-old fell down the stairs. Of course, you know, epilepsy was not something that was... they didn't know how to treat it very well at that point. Yeah. And it was, the family did believe that she was possessed by a demon or the devil because of the way that her body would move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's possible she could have fallen and then had a seizure too.
Correct.
Because sometimes that can, like a physical trauma can bring on a seizure.
Yep. So there's all sorts of things when it was 1906. There was not great reporting.
Yeah. Right.
And the last child,
she was a woman, so like, do we really care?
The last child that survived was Violet. And Violet, I did not see any records of her being married. It looks like Violet left for a little while, but then after either her sister or her dad passed away, she came back to live with her mother, who lived there. And Annie, so Richard Merchant passed away 6 months after Mamie. And then, let's see, Annie survived to be 98.
She
passed away in the 1950s. That's like crazy. Think about all the stuff that she saw in this world.
Yeah.
And then
she saw a lot. Two world wars, depression. Also, I think it's important to note, AP, I know you touched on this earlier, but after they talk about Mary Frances dying, Steve goes, how did Richard and the wife handle this?
Yes.
It's like, she has a name.
He just forgot it.
I also found it interesting that Richard died before Annie, because usually, and I, you know, sweeping statements, when a woman loses children, she passes because, you know, we're more emotionally connected generally to our children. Mm-hmm. Not always.
Right.
So that to me was very interesting that he passed and she didn't. And not in a bad way. I just found it, you know.
Yeah, and
women usually outlive their husbands.
Yep.
But with the like you said, with the death of kids. Yeah.
Well,
three kids?
Maybe she wasn't a mothering type.
Maybe
she was like, eh, I only wanted one anyway.
She had her other daughter come back. So Violet may have been the oldest.
Yeah.
Because it did say that Mamie was the youngest, but it might have meant youngest daughter. So I don't know where they fit with the two boys earlier on. I did not look at age or dates of birth, but she did outlive her mom. So her mom lived to be 98.
Yeah.
And Violet lived to be 81. or 82 yeah. in her low 80s. But she left the property, whatever she had, she left to her caretakers. So that's
not her daughter.
No. Violet.
Oh, sorry.
So Violet and her mother lived in the home until they both yeah. passed.
Okay.
And Amy does see a crying woman who she mm-hmm. believes is spoiled, very big complainer, seems to have come from money, but she's a big time martyr. So, you know, when we talk about, you know, what you were just saying, Megan, we've got somebody she's made herself the victim.
Yeah.
And so maybe she's just thriving off of that, because it does seem like that's what she's doing post life as well.
Yeah.
Is kind of thriving off of that aspect. It was just really interesting. I think there's absolutely a lot more that's going on here.
Mm-hmm. Can't imagine losing three children.
Mm-mm. No, when they only had four, it's not like they had 10.
Right.
Like the last guy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then
so many kids.
So now we jump from the merchants and we go back a little further in time into the Civil War, because this mm-hmm. was, as we mentioned earlier, big battle. I mean, Virginia was a battlegrounds across yeah. the whole state during the Confederacy. So we hear from the Civil War historian, which they did not put his name. They did not put his title under his name, but Steve yeah. just briefly mentioned he's a historian, a Civil War historian. So we hear David Bourne, and tells us that the museum is literally built over hundreds of Confederate soldiers' remains, which then, wasn't this museum or the house built in the 1700s?
My thought to that was they mentioned an annex. So yeah. my thought is they probably built that later. But because right. you're right, it doesn't make any sense.
No. And so
that's the only thing I could think of, is that the annex was built later.
Yeah. And that's what we kind of talked about earlier on, too, is that that's likely the case. But it was just weird, because they said, well, the museum is built over, you know, the remains of potentially 1,000 Confederate soldiers. And mm-hmm. it was just, to me, that was interesting. But it also ties in with Amy's first like thing on the walk. She says, I see this house in a graveyard. This house is in a cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I do think it's probably one of the buildings, but I don't believe it's the main museum building.
Right.
But, I mean, they had bad winters, and you're having young men, because mm-hmm. at that time they would have been considered men. They would have been providing for their 15, households 16 and everything.
15, 16 years old.
Mm-hmm. And, but they're coming from, you know, potentially poorer areas in the South where they barely have
yeah.
clothes on their back. And now you're going through a Northern mm-hmm. quote unquote winter with very
Nothing.
Little supplies
yeah.
and, you know, food and, you know, marching in those boots and everything.
Oh,
most
God.
Boots, the boots didn't always fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were either
I
too
think
big
a lot
or too
of
small.
Times they would get them from soldiers who had passed away yep. or...
Oh, yeah. You'd like, scavenge anything yeah. you could, because if somebody else had a better pair of boots and they weren't going to be using those feet anymore, you're taking yeah. the boots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Seeing all the Amy sees bodies that are frozen and yeah. starving.
Covered in ice.
They were unprepared for winter yeah. storms. Most likely yeah. a lot of those deaths would have come through during some type of storm, not just a little at a time, but potentially mm-hmm. a lot at once. So
it reminds me of when the Germans tried to invade Russia mm-hmm. in the winter, and it's like in World War II. It's like mm-hmm. that's a Russian, like they were just completely unprepared.
Yep. And, you know, then you have, not only do you have the colds and starvation, but then you have disease, because there's no hygiene, there's no toilet system,
mm-hmm.
even an outhouse they probably didn't even have. Just
well, yeah, because that would be a target.
Mm-hmm. So that's
fun.
Where we likely see a lot of these potential residual energy. And as I mentioned too earlier, we don't even touch the Revolutionary War in this conversation. And there's probably plenty that went on here, especially again in the history of the town. It was a POW camp for the mm-hmm. Hessian soldiers, which were the German mm-hmm. soldiers. And mm-hmm. fun fact, one of the Hessians is the reason for Sleepy Hollow, the Headless Horseman.
Oh, interesting.
It was a Hessian soldier that was decapitated that is supposed to be the riding the horse of the apocalypse kind of thing. Yep. But yeah, you think about those kids who were men at that time, but I think about, you know, 13 and 14, they were working full-time jobs. They're not in school anymore for the most part. Right. Especially if you
had, they needed,
unless you had a lot of money, unless your family had a lot of money.
But they needed to help on the farm because they probably had a ton of siblings younger than them that.
Yep. So then we, you know, Amy just kind of goes on seeing a lot of this stuff. She's seeing shooting. She's seeing people starving, frozen, all that sort of stuff. And then lastly, we see we come to our professor, Kelly Dietz. And again, this goes to more history of the area, even further back. And we meet a family, James and Sarah Scott, who were wealthy Scottish immigrants. I was like, oh, okay. And then the next paragraph, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
You know, they came over.
They're not nice. Sarah, at least Sarah is nice.
He was a reverend of the church. They were well off when they came here. They had a 2,000-acre plantation, and they owned 26 enslaved people. And basically, a 7-year-old enslaved boy tried to run away, but he was caught. And so Sarah,
the reverend's wife,
beats him to death. And then
she hits him twice. Mm-hmm. She does. It's not like repeatedly. She hits him twice
with a cane
and kills him.
Yep. Which, yeah, she hits him in the head. And so she gets arrested, but then is acquitted because it's a just and legal killer.
And well, yeah, because it was her property. She could do what she wanted with him.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know,
gross.
It's, and, you know, I appreciate Steve's like, you're kidding. This really happened. And it's like, think of the time. Mm-hmm. And are you really surprised after all these investigations you've done with all of this stuff that's going on?
Also, it still happens today. Like, not with enslaved people, but
yeah,
I'm fine.
But then our kind of hero of the story was Colonel John Bayliss.
Very surprising. Did not see this coming.
Mm-hmm. I did not either. But John Bayliss, a colonel, a local colonel. It, when they say local colonel, I'm like, does that mean he was more like, he's not police officer, but is he part of like a like,
I think he was just in the military and he just happens to have lived there.
Yeah.
I think that's what that means. I don't think local colonel is a separate thing.
Yeah. Well, and there was still British rule. So is he, was he British or was he quote American? He was very upset about it. And he led a smear campaign against the reverend and his wife and just trying to say how dishonorable they were and awful they were for 2.5 years.
And which in that time, like, your name was all you had. Like, if you think about the Crucible and I forget his name, John somebody, they want him to sign away that he's, you know, a witch. And he's like, but it's my name. And he decides to die. Like, their name is all they had. So for him to run that smear campaign, that's huge. That's more detrimental than if he had gone to their house and punched them or something.
Their son decides that he's had enough and challenges Bayliss to a duel. But sidesteps. He puts in his champion, like we're in Game of Thrones and, you know, well, I'm not going to fight, but the mountain is.
Because he's a little bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he puts in his brother-in-law, Cuthbert Bullet.
There's a name.
Yeah. So they do their traditional 13 paces, which paces are not every step. It's every step with one leg. So
I did not know this until I read that you had written that down.
I know this because of my dad teaching orienteering. And so you'd have to step your paces. It's every, so if you start with your left foot, it would be every time your left foot comes down as you're counting a pace.
Interesting. Okay. That's very far.
Yeah. So then you think about that's about 26 steps.
Yeah.
Let's say these are taller guys, potentially about a yard per step. So now we're 50 to 60 yards apart.
And,
we're using in 1700s, we don't really have rifling on barrels. We have muzzle load ends. They're not good very aim, accurate.
Not good accuracy. Yeah.
So and it's at a further distance, so which that probably explains low shot and a miss. So Bayless misses, and they said they do, like, it was Bayless's option to shoot first. Like, I thought duels were always you just turn and shoot.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
But in this one, they say that Bayless, he was supposed to fire first, but he misses.
So the other guy is just supposed to stand there while the first dude shoots at him?
That is not the interpretation I've ever had of any duel before.
No.
But yeah, so then the other guy hits him in the groin and thigh. He bleeds out in a few hours, which is likely meaning his femoral artery was cut. Which is unfortunate, but, you know, Colonel Bayless, ahead of his time, really, it seems like. It's nice to see that kind of story in our history when we just have so many of the other.
Yeah.
I mean, half of this story is the other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else I missed in any of that before we get to our reveal?
I don't think so. Hi, everyone. It's Amy here. I just wanted to do a quick little shout out. Thank you to our more recent new patrons. We've had a bunch of people that have joined on the free level, which is super cool. We're excited and we hope that they will eventually transition into being full members so that we can chat and get to know them better. Here's a welcome to Janet, Polly, Veronese, Suzanne, Jonelle, Sienna, Mike, and Allie. Thanks, everybody. We are so happy that you're joining us, and we hope that you have a good time. Please shoot me a message if you have any ideas for what you would like to see on Patreon. Thanks, everyone.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I love... Amy, you have a great statement that you make at the beginning of Steve introducing everybody into the reveal here. Well, it starts off with, now that Amy and I have completed our investigations, we're ready to reveal our findings. And I can't believe they're even still sitting here.
I know. Why not, Steve? Jeez, dramatic much?
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we've seen way worse cases than he hasn't said that. Like, we've seen cases where people are laying in bed, mostly women, and they're getting assaulted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't said that. Like, I'm not saying that this case isn't bad because it is, but it's not worth that.
Yep. No,
Steve.
No. And like, I think AP, you mentioned earlier that some of the things that Steve said just seem to be dramatizing everything because it's not one of these stories where people are, you know, with the exception of that woman who said that she nearly died. And I don't know how much that is related.
Yep.
But it does seem like my butt was hit. I was pulled by hair. And that we've seen so much worse than that, that I feel like Steve was trying to make it seem a little bit more than it was.
We've seen people have had knives thrown at them in kitchens.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not downplaying what these people went through, these women went through, because it was bad, but it was not. I can't even believe they're sitting here bad.
Yeah. Like, no.
Like, but where else would they be?
I'm curious. We should go back and look at some of these, especially where it's the dream house, or in this case, it was her dream job. And how many of them are maybe over dramatized because of those statements, or those statements are added in to help with that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, like, as Steve talks through this, he's like, well, this is Erica and Natalie. Natalie's a volunteer. She's pregnant. Erica, you know, works here. She loves it, but she's really worried that this place is going to get shut down. And Amy's just kind of like, so I just saw the house in the middle of a cemetery. I mean, opening strong.
Yeah. Starting to coming in hot, Amy. Coming in hot.
Yep. And she, you know, I don't think there was much that we learned in any of the reveal that we didn't hear earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or, you know, the only thing that as we go through, we don't ever learn who Bob is.
Right.
And doing some research, doing my own digging, I did find a few.
AP did some digging to the archives.
I did. I did find a few Robert Waters from the area. So there's Robert Waters with two T's from like the 1700s. So two T's in the last name. But then there was a Robert Waters who passed away the same year as Richard Merchant.
Mm-hmm.
And then it looks like there was maybe his son or a grandson, because there's another Robert Waters and looks like a World War II service uniform.
Interesting.
You know, it doesn't...
Generational, maybe.
Yeah, so any of them could have been Bob, but Bob could have just been...
He could have just been some dude that came through on a, on a tour one time. I mean, she didn't even say, like, at least I don't recall... Tell
anything
me if I'm
about him.
Anything about like what decade he was from, what he was wearing, anything like that. So
he's
don't
just a
really know anything about
Tom Dick and Harry. And so we hear about Richard and we hear about James that had, you know, from Scotland. But none of them indicate to be Bob. She does say he was a rather big guy and maybe was a farmer. And there is a farm that looks like, from what I could tell, was associated to like Robert Waters LLC or something like that. Like there may have been.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's a family name. So I have no idea who that could have been. But yeah, we find out that he likes to be the center of attention and he wants attention. But he also throws tantrums when he doesn't get his way.
Typical man.
We already talked about with their ghost tours. Amy was just kind of like, cool, glad you vet people out a little bit. Yeah, Erica, Natalie, there was that one point where Steve talks about it and is like, Natalie's a couple weeks pregnant. And I was like, or no, he says she's a couple weeks.
The way he says it is like, you're pregnant, right? A couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I think what he meant to say is you're doing a couple of
weeks. That's what I thought too, was that either
because you're not going to tell somebody you're pregnant 2 weeks.
When you're two, you usually don't even know.
No, and you're no. Exactly. And you wait 3 months anyway, because anything can happen in that first trimester.
Although I will say more and more people are not doing that because they want the support system if something happens.
Yeah. Which is fine. That's up to them.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever you want to do.
We did. Yeah.
I definitely think that he means like do in a couple of weeks, but you know, or maybe he meant you're a couple of months along and maybe he just flipped words. Cause she didn't really ever say, you know, any of that. So,
well, not that it aired. But.
No.
Right.
And she just said that she was, you know, worried for her baby and she was worried for herself being there. And so, yeah, that would be probably be tough going into somewhere where you're being, you know, pushed on and shoved around and, someone's been thrown down the stairs.
Yeah.
Bob probably hates those curtains. That's why he's always throwing a tantrum.
Yeah.
Somebody change them. They're horrendous.
The sketch.
Yeah.
What do we think of the sketch?
Oops.
I had trouble figuring out what they're actually, what I'm looking at. Because I see a doorway and I see a stairway, but it doesn't look like they go together. And I can't tell, are we in the basement?
And what man is she talking about?
I think it's the son, Joanne's son.
Oh.
Okay. Okay.
So
it just didn't really connect to anything.
What it looks like is you have walls and then there's the chair that's in the corner. It almost looks like she's trying to chloroform him. Like the way her hand is reaching around his face. And then the stairs just look like there's no banister. So is that part of the renovation maybe that they were that they had taken down?
To me, the thing in the corner looks like a bed. Like the end of a bed.
Oh, yeah, see, I was thinking like a chair, like the arm of a chair that's kind of ornate. But yeah, I could see.
Oh, I thought that was supposed to be. Oh, I think I was thinking that was like a banister of another staircase. Of another staircase. I don't know. It's weird. I can't really tell what we're looking at. Go check it out in the blog, everybody. I'll put the picture in the blog.
Yeah. So then they, of course, ask, who do you think this could have been in life?
Yeah.
And the only one that's coming to mind is that it's likely Annie.
Yeah.
They said that she's probably in her 60s in this photo, but then they also said that this photo was taken shortly after her husband died, which was in 1906, which the math isn't mathing quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, she was later in life when this photo was taken. And
yeah.
Yeah, I would put her in her late 60s, even 70s. Like, she just looks old.
But when you look at what the Golden Girls were supposed to be.
That's true. They were all in their 40s.
Mm-hmm. They were in their 50s, except Blanche, who was in her 40s.
Okay.
Yeah. 41. Wait,
I thought Sophia was the
season.
Youngest one.
No, Sophia, of the actresses, I believe Sophia was the youngest one. But
that's
in the
what
show,
I meant.
She was,
That's
I was joking because we never know Blanche's age because she always talks
she
about how young she is.
She says 41 in like one of the early seasons.
Does she? Yep. Which is completely wrong.
It's probably 51.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, well, and then you think about like, you know, Catherine O'Hara in Home Alone. Thank you. I was going to go.
Oh, yes.
In Home Alone, she was 36.
Wow.
God.
When that was filmed. Like, so she easily could have been in her 40s in this picture because
that's true.
Like, when we look at different ages, it gets so hard to tell when you look at different generations as to what those timelines
are. I mean, she did lose three children.
I was
going to
say,
and her husband.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd love to know more about the story of Violet, but there was just nothing. Violet's the daughter that survived.
Mm-hmm.
But there really wasn't anything.
Yeah.
And then there was some weird editing in this reveal because it was like there was a question, then Amy looks like she's going to answer, and then we just cut away to the next.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. When Natalie asks if her child is in danger, her unborn baby is in danger, and they go to Amy, and then they go to commercial or, you know, it was a cut. And I'm like, well, they didn't let her answer.
Yeah,
but
they just
I assume she answered yes.
Because they cut to her for a second. It looked like she's going, you know, and then they just went to the next question. They did kind of that like scan out. And
It wasn't a commercial. Mm-hmm. It was just a cut.
And the way that Amy talks later and that Natalie talks, I do feel like they cut something out because Natalie's like, well, I have to protect me and my baby, which grammatically is incorrect.
Yes.
But that's where I was like, that definitely seems like they cut stuff out because. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just that's a weird sentence to say with no backstory to it, you know?
Yep. So, I mean, like I said, there wasn't really anything new information-wise that was brought up, but we do have Steve saying, "Can it stay open?" Mm-hmm. And Amy's like, "Well, yeah, but there's got to be some stuff that needs to be done to keep everybody safe." Mm-hmm. And I thought this was really interesting because I don't remember her ever saying this before of cleansing by taking a bunch of old towels or rags, putting them in salt water, and then go around wiping down the walls, everything in the room. What it does is brings in good energy, removes any kind of depression that's floating around in the air, and it's a really wonderful thing to use. Mm-hmm. Never heard her.
I think I have that heard before. That before. I remember somebody else having to wash their walls, and I was thinking, I wonder, because I think. Maybe it was before you joined us, Amy, but I remember saying to Megan, I wonder if that was just her way of saying this place is kind of trash and you guys should clean it up a little bit.
What can I use? Salt water. Yeah. Clean it with salt water.
That's it. Salt water. That'll do it.
There it is.
Yeah.
They're like, this is weird.
I also thought it was just interesting because she said old towels or rags.
Because you're going to throw them away.
Well, yeah.
You know. Although I don't know why you can't soak a towel.
Maybe use those curtains.
Hey, those curtains aren't doing anybody any favor on the wall. Yeah. Why don't you pull those down?
If you get rid of the curtains, Bob will be free.
Bob will be happy.
There you go.
Leave.
Oh, that's what she should have told him.
Yeah.
Bob
missed
really wants to get rid of those.
Amy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, you could definitely rewash and stuff. I just thought it was interesting that she was like, just use, you know, old towels or rags. Because most of the time it's like, bring in something new, bring in this, do this. Yeah. And it just seems like, oh, if you just slop some water on the walls, salt water on the walls, you're good. But then she also suggests that in order to deal with Uncle Bob and the woman is to bring in a minister to both locations and do a blessing where he states directly to the deceased individuals, you guys need to leave. You are no longer welcome here. You need to leave. And to give that about a week. And if I love this. Amy's like, if they're still being idiots and choose not to go, then they'll have to come back and do an exorcism. And hear, you know, did it feel like there was a lot of conviction from Erica to follow through.
But then how many other times have we heard a ton of conviction and they never do it?
And they don't do anything. Yeah.
Exactly. Because she, you know, Steve says, well, are you going to do it? And she's like, well, the alternative is unthinkable. I mean, we're not going to shut our doors, so we need to do what we need to do.
Yeah.
Natalie says, I have to stay away from here for a while, but it's not, you know, it's not a lifetime thing.
Yeah. And Steve is like, well, it's not forever. So that was nice.
And Amy is very like, hey, if they follow this, everything will be just fine. They'll be golden. They'll be able to do all the stuff that they're doing. They're still going to have, like, basically, you're still going to be able to have your ghost tours and things, too. You just won't have these two troublesome ones there.
Because Steve asks, like, can the other ghosts stay? And Amy's like, well, yeah, they're not really hurting anyone. They're not problems. They're just there.
They're just like the ghosts in the TV show. They're just there.
Right. Which I need to watch. It's so cute.
And it ends with Erica and Natalie cleanse the house, but they're looking for a minister and the activity continues.
They were very cute.
I didn't find anything...
I could not find Bob. Erica or Natalie. I was hoping that we could, you know, talk to them, but I couldn't find either one of them. It doesn't seem like either of them are connected to the museum anymore. Mm-mm. I couldn't even find anything in the last several years of them being
connected.
I scrolled
through their Instagram back to 2019 when they started the Instagram. I didn't find anything on either of those two.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Interesting.
Oh, well, if you're out
hope
there,
they're
ladies.
Doing well. Okay. I hope they're... Hope they landed on their feet.
I do too. Yeah.
They were very nice. Unlike Mark. I don't need a psychologist. That stuff's for wusses.
There's enough people in this house. What the fuck did that mean? There was two people in that house.
Yeah.
What's he talking about?
Well, weren't they women?
Well, no, he was talking about himself and his daughter didn't live there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. From a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
His
daughter didn't live there.
He was delightful.
Yeah. All right.
It's him and his wife.
His wife. Stepmom.
Yep.
Lori, I think her name was.
Yep.
Lori. Oh my God, I'm so good.
Look at that. Your memory's good sometimes.
I know your memory.
That's
so proud of you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thanks, Amy, for guiding us in that, picking that
one. Yeah, thanks, Amy. That was a good one.
Thank y'all for listening to us again.
We appreciate you.
We do.
Woo!
Next week was my turn, and I picked a episode called From Beyond, which is in season 5. I have it as episode 6, and I chose it because it was another one that was on my list, but all I had put for a reminder about what it was aliens in all caps with exclamation point. So we shall see. I hope it's good. That's the one we're going to do next
time. If it's not, it's Amy's fault.
Yep, it's totally my fault.
Not my fault. Not mine.
No, not Amy L. Not Amy P.
Yeah, not AP. Amy.
Nope. Yep. So, thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the Activity Continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media, and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network. This is just a disclaimer and sort of warning about this podcast. The Activity Continues podcast is in no way affiliated with The Dead Files, its production company, or any of its distributors. We are simply fans that love the show and love to talk about it and dissect it and yes, make fun of it, but we do love it. And all of the opinions expressed herein are ours alone and have nothing to do with the Dead Files or any of its cast, crew, production, or distributors. And we swear. Enjoy.